live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And happy Tuesday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. We'll be with you until 6 tonight. Jam-packed show coming up at 4:35. Ryan Callahan, he covers the Vols for GoVols247.com. At 5:05, Barrett Salee, national college football writer with CBSSports.com, also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. And then around 5:35 or so, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. A little bit of everything with Teresa. And Zach, what an interesting Monday it was. First and foremost, you know, celebrating all of the accomplishments and what Martin Luther King Jr. means to so many folks, and how, you know, with, you know, his legacy. I would encourage anyone, if you've never had a chance to, if you go over to Memphis, you visit the memorial site where, unfortunately, he was assassinated, but they've turned it into a civil rights museum, and just an amazing, you know, walk down history if you ever get the opportunity to do that. But then we get the news yesterday morning, and look, I wish I could say I was shocked and surprised, but the writing was on the wall back in November. You could, when you start hiring in-house lawyers, you're looking to find something. And I think this gets uglier, by the way. You know, what we've had this conversation in recent weeks that, you know, looking for a way not to have to pay Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah, if you're, you know, 3 years, plenty enough time where you know where all the skeletons are. Not just your skeletons, skeletons of Christmas past. And here's the thing, you know, there will be some money exchanged before all this is said and done. Otherwise, you know, I'm thinking you're going to be seeing some major probation there for UT.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I just wonder if they know he knows the things that they don't want being told, then maybe they wouldn't have gone this direction. But they'll probably, I mean, they're going to settle out of court. It's going to go to court. It's going to get ugly. And then they'll do some sort of settlement out there. Well, they'll just give him the money and say, here's your shut up money. And well, they'll all move on. He'll go back to Alabama, win a national championship, and then find a nice cozy spot in San Jose State or something.
See, I don't think he ends up back at Alabama. I was on yesterday with Ryan Fowler in Tuscaloosa, and I was throwing this out there. When you're talking about probation, the potential with the NCAA involved now, if they could hit you, you don't want somebody like that on your staff until you know what all the, you know, all the fallout is. And remember, too, who was Jeremy Pruitt's, and we said this, and I've said it over and over and over again. Some people said, no, that's not going to happen. It's different. I said that Jeremy Pruitt and Phil Fulmer were attached to the hip. When one goes, both goes. And by the way, if you think that he resigned on his own terms, forget about that. You know, you can say he resigned. It was time to step down and let a new AD come in with his own football coach. Yeah.
That whole press conference where they were just stroking the ego of Phil Fulmer and, like, that.
He's saving. Look, this is all about saving face.
Yeah, that's all that was.
And this is, you know, Phil Fulmer did not go out on his own. And here's the thing, too. I go back to, remember, he was a football coach. He knows the money men. He knows who, I mean, and look, what money men? Every program has the money guys, and some have more than others. I mean, I remember Steve Spurrier talking about the fact that South Carolina, they didn't have any heavy donors at South Carolina, yet they expected to win on a national scale, just like everybody else as far as the national powers are concerned. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. But when I say about money men, that's why this gets uglier before it gets better. And I wish I could say, and I know you're going, the fans, the optimistic fans of the Vols are going, nah, no way. I mean, we're down, whatever. Just, look, the pressure when you're at a program, remember, Tennessee, number 10 on the list, most wins ever in college football history. Now, I understand if you're early 20s, high school age, whatever the case may be, you don't remember when UT was relevant on a national scale. But to get to top 10 most wins in college football history, that's the tradition of Tennessee football. But, you know, it's a few years ago.
It's few? 20?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what we look. They win the national title in 98, the very first BCS national title game. They had some moments in the first decade of the 2000s. But lean years from Derek Dooley on.
Mm-hmm.
Although Butch Jones still tells you that he, you know, he's shocked that they didn't build a statue in his honor for mediocrity.
Well, I mean, mediocrity is the top of their it's the top of their class right now, right?
Like that's brick by brick, baby.
If you go back to Dooley, you can make an argument that all of this that's happening right now, they are worse off than when they were with Dooley.
Was that one of the worst questions I've ever asked? I had Vince Dooley on, had him on last year, but prior to that, it was a couple years, you know, ago. And I remember I asked him, I said, if you were AD and you were and your son was the head coach, and based on what happened at UT, what would you have done? And he basically brought his wife into it, saying that he would have some answering to do at home if he let his son go. But the pressure was there, you know, and here I go back to 16 and 19. So 35 games, 16 and 19. If it was 28 and 7, would they have been that, you know,
no, I don't think
motivated, that hungry to find something there. Look, this was intentional. And if you dig, I don't care what program you're talking about. If you really want to dig, you're going to find it. But I'm just telling you right now, you know, with the administration, I don't know who is consulting with the school administration, but Jeremy Pruitt is going to get something. Now, he may not get the full $12 million and all that. I understand that. But he's going to get something. Otherwise, more lips will be flapping.
Yeah, well, and even more so about Fulmer, you know, he got the contract extension. What? How many months ago? This was like four or five
months?
After,
this was after the 2-0 start.
Yeah.
So remember, they had
won 8
straight.
But now he wants to retire.
Oh, you mean Phil Fulmer got the contract extension?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I thought you meant giving the contract extension
well,
to Jeremy
Pruitt. Well, both, right, because they both got contract, correct?
See, I don't remember. You know,
I could be wrong on
last
this.
Last year's a little hazy.
Yeah,
as far as when Phil Fulmer got an extension.
So, I mean, I want to say that was just a few months ago, and I'll vet that for sure. But both of them, they get all these extensions.
Weren't they talking in 2019 about that? I'm trying to remember.
I thought it was recent. I thought it was more recent than that. I mean, I have to make sure. But yeah, that was that. But
oh yeah, here it is. He received a 2-year extension in May of last year.
Yeah, so all the way to 2023, right? That was what they were kind of looking for, is to go through his contract. And now, I mean, we're not that. What was that? You said May of last year. That was 6 months ago, 7 months ago. We're to that point, and now all of a sudden he needs to retire. Never wanted to go past being 70. When blah blah blah.
Here's the thing. He did not retire on his own.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah,
and end of story.
That means there's so, and that's to me sounds like they didn't want to dismiss one of their most recent successful coaches, even though that was 98. They don't want to put him in a bad light and hurt his legacy.
That's
and so
exactly,
Tennessee was like, look,
all
just step
this
down.
Was about. But here's the thing. If you, and this is where I'm really intrigued to see how much advice they're taking from Phillip Fulmer, because once again, Fulmer knows where skeletons are too, and he also knows who can, you know, do the nice money handshakes. He, you know, any coach, anybody at any program, if you've been there a while, you know where these people are. You know the skeletons, and the fact that they were intentionally trying to throw Jeremy Pruitt under the bus makes me believe. And look, attorney's involved now, and I keep going back to the fact that this will get ugly. If he doesn't get paid,
I agree. I but as much as they're putting into this, making the as big of a deal and as a scene as they have already,
are they crazy? I'm thinking, are you just crazy?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I love the fact that they're so open and trying to be this, you know, and trying to be proactive. And I get all of that, but remember, they hired the in-house attorneys to go find dirt, and boy, they found it all right.
And that's what I'm saying. Doing all that makes me think that they're legitimately not wanting to pay him a dime of what that contract was.
And I want to know too, because you know, part of it, you know, extra benefits for individuals not on official visits, which means they gave them free room. They found a way to get free rooms at local hotels and stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, so were they paying for them? Were the hotels being furnished just because we pull for UT? I'll be interested to see exactly if there's a money trail there, if money was exchanged hands with the athletics department, with these local establishments there over in Knoxville. Because that was one of the things. We're not talking about minor slap on the wrist things. We're talking about the kind of things that will get you on probation.
So something that came out earlier, I think it was on the Dan Patrick Show, they had reportedly put cash in McDonald's bags for recruits on visits. So that's coming out that they are putting money into McDonald's bags and I guess maybe like serving them lunch. And then they were like, here's your lunch. And then there'd be like $10,000 in there.
Yeah.
Or whatever amount of money it was.
I mean, you don't even have to pull off a tab or anything. It's just right in there.
Yeah. And so that those McDoubles were a little tastier
now,
that day.
Zach now, an assistant in the sports information office, thinking, oh, boy, I'm hungry right now. I could use a quarter pounder with cheese and, oh.
A quarter thousand with cheese.
Yeah, a few thousand extra in my pockets. Yes. Yeah, so, by the way, a couple of names that I've heard so far as the AD opening, because they want to hire the AD, then hire the coach. But David Blackburn, formerly with Chattanooga, is their AD now. The associate AD down at MTSU. So David Blackburn, one of those names out there. Also John Gilbert, being told that name is being thrown around. He is currently the AD at East Carolina. By the way, here's the thing. Because Derek Dooley failed, because Bush Jones failed, and now Jeremy Pruitt failed, I don't see how – I mean, yeah, I hear names like Billy Napier from Louisiana Lafayette, Jamie Chadwell over at Coastal Carolina, I get all that. I think you have to get a Power 5 coach, a head coach that with that kind of experience. I don't think Tennessee can afford to take another chance.
Well, see, this you say the word afford, and you talk about what if your reality comes true, or they're going to get in and Pruitt does have a way to get money out of them. Are they going to be able to afford another coach to come in at that level with that kind of price tag? That's another thing.
They're getting 40. Now, I understand they're paying things, but they're still getting 40-plus million a year from the SEC. You've got rich boosters who want to win, and they want to win yesterday. Yes, they'll find a way. Look, it's an established program.
How many McDonald's are there? How many bags can they fill up with the right amount of money?
But hey, look, I go back to, and that's why there's not a huge hurry about this, but because of the transfer portal, you got folks that'll be taking grad courses, for example, may have one extra year or whatever. Whoever comes in can immediately help their team with the transfer portal. And that's one of the things we'll get into a conversation with Ron Callahan about. But I think I've saw the name Tom Herman out there. How about Gus Malzahn? One of the things about Jeremy Pruitt, he couldn't beat Alabama, couldn't beat Georgia, couldn't beat Florida. 0-9 against all three of those programs.
And he cheated the entire way, apparently.
Yeah, how good are you at that?
That's what I'm saying.
But Gus Malzahn, I'm throwing that name out there only because he did beat Alabama three times starting in 2013. And really good Alabama teams, I may remind you. Remember in 2013, mm-hmm. It was a Bama team that was number one in the country, back-to-back national titles. He beat them his very first year, had the national championship won until a minute to go before Florida State came from behind to win. He beat Georgia twice. And so that's five wins right there against those. He only played Florida once, Gus Malzahn did, and lost in that, but it was a decent game. So there's not a lot of room as far as on the canvas of work there against the Florida Gators. But against Georgia and Alabama, five wins. And I'll throw it out there. Dabo Swinney with Clemson, Gus Malzahn with Auburn. Who else was beating Alabama consistently? And that's it. You only need two fingers.
Yeah, the only thing with Gus,
You could throw Hugh Freeze, but mm-hmm. he cheated. So you can throw Hugh Freeze out the door.
See, Tennessee can get a cheater, but actually somebody who can win with it. There's a step there. But for Gus, I don't know if he would want to go there. You're going to get – he's paid, right? We know how much money he's getting. And he's going to be stepping into a situation that, one, the fans are going to love him. They're gonna get behind him. Has probably the best fanship, I think, in the SEC, because think of all the losing they do, and they still show up every week. But I don't know if he wants to go into that sort of ring right now and have to put that much pressure on himself, because he really doesn't have to. I mean, dollar wise and life wise, I mean, you know, what does he got to prove to anybody?
It's not look, these guys, this is what they do. This is their hobby, and that's what you don't understand. It has nothing to do about the money. I had this conversation with Nick Saban.
It has a little bit to do about the money.
It really does. Honestly,
look at Pruitt fighting to get his money right now.
Well, that's different, you know, cause when you've never had it in this laying right there and it's in front of you. But like Nick Saban, you know, when he got into coaching, there was no money in coaching. And the only reason he got into coaching, by the way, I remind everybody, wasn't like he was destined to be a football coach. Miss Terry, his wife, still had one more year of school, so he had to do something. And that's how he got involved in coaching, as far as in the college ranks, and the rest is history.
Yeah, well, he also eats the same thing for lunch, so he's a weirdo in general.
Yeah, but you got the nice six national championships to show for it at Alabama, and add the extra one from LSU. He's doing something right. Tom Herman, I'm just not sold on Tom Herman, by the way, but that name has been thrown out there, too, as a possibility. That name doesn't do anything for me. Hugh Freeze, gosh, you know, there's baggage, and then there's Hugh Freeze's baggage. I think there's too much. I just don't see that happening. And what about the return of Lane Kiffin, really? So let me get
this.
That's not going to happen. I was going to say, so you want a coach that you hired in 2009, kept him for 1 year, and he says bye and leaves to go to USC. And then oh, by the way, how many years has he been at Ole Miss? Oh, that would be one. And so that just goes to show
you. If they're
going to
get him, it's now, though, because that's his thing.
But my point is, if you're going to get him, you get him for 1 year, and he's going to be, you know, looking for an NFL job or something.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm thinking, no.
That's Sebastian Janikowski out there trying to kick a 72-yard field goal again like he did when he's with the Raiders.
Well, here's the thing. He could do that in practice. Sebastian Janikowski could actually hit the field goals that long. And you try to block. You know, I remember a Florida State player tried to block one of them in practice one day. Either broke his wrist or almost broke his wrist, because he did get his hand on it, and it's like that's the last time he forgot who it was, but he jokingly said, "I'll never do that again."
I get the baggage that comes with Hugh Freeze, but when I was watching that megacast for the national championship, and he was one of the coaches in the coaches' film room as they, you know, they're breaking down the plays and talking. It was him and Chizik and Clawson from Wake Forest and somebody else, Sam Washington from North Carolina A&T. When they were in there, you know how we all get awestruck a little bit when we listen to Jim Nance and Tony Romo, and Romo is just, you know, oh, this is what they're about to do, and then they do that exact thing. Well,
right.
Hugh Freeze is literally doing that, but with Saban, saying this is what Saban does in this moment. He said 2 plays from now, this will happen, and blah, blah, blah. And he, I mean, it was just on a dime every single time. He knows the SEC, knows how to beat Saban, just the mentality of Saban to play with him. And I think a guy like that could be really beneficial to Tennessee. Yes, there's obviously going to be huge problems there from day one, but let's not act like, you know, that this doesn't happen across college football in general anyway. This is kind of a year-in, year-out problem where we always see something like that. And Tennessee would have to know that they would be on very strict standards, so there would be no more that Freeze could do secretively without the school finding out knowing that they would want to find out themselves.
I think the problem, if you're already looking at probation, might even be on probation, do you really want to hire a coach who got ran off from Ole Miss because of violations?
Lean into it, you know?
Yeah, that's just a very bad look. A few other things of note. Yesterday, Vanderbilt women's basketball ended their season due to COVID issues. No wins in conference play. I heard George throw this out there. So Vanderbilt football, no wins in conference play. Vanderbilt women ended their season, no wins in conference play. You're going to have to wait a while for Vanderbilt men's basketball. They're 0-4. Their game on Wednesday night against Texas A&M called off because of COVID-19 issues. So, yeah. By the way, three, including Tennessee. Tennessee, by the way, jumped up all the way to number 6 in both the USA Today coaches poll and the AP poll. Number 6 in the men's basketball rankings. Alabama surged to 16th after not being ranked in that poll last week. They moved up in the coaches poll to 16th. They're 18th in the AP poll. And then you've got Missouri, the only other SEC team ranked. They're ranked 19th in both polls. But all three of those teams will be in action tonight. Tennessee will be on the road against Florida. By the way, Florida, one of the worst shooting teams I've ever seen. I mean, what happened to Florida being able to make baskets? This team is awful.
Can I go back real quick to Vanderbilt? Just this is a question that may not have an answer, but it just really strikes me as very strange. So they're having COVID-19 problems. Mm-hmm. Is not Vanderbilt one of the leading like COVID-19 research places? How has the standards not reached the academic side?
All right, I'll just throw this out there. Do you know on average how many times a person touches their face every hour? Whether their nose, their eyes, mouth, whatever. Do you have an answer for that? Did I just lose you?
No, you got me, Johnny. Sorry, I had a phone call right then. What was you asked?
All right, so how many times an hour do you think an individual they touch their face per hour?
Oh, man, like 27. I'll say 27.
It's not that high, but it's 16. Okay. So everybody's talking about how masks don't work. Well, here's the thing. You know, as far as with COVID-19. I mean, I was watching. I forgot what football game it was, one of the playoff games, and there's the coach, you know, licking his fingers and stuff and touching his nose, then putting his mask back up and going, oh, that's great. But if you don't religiously, I mean, you're talking about several times an hour. If you're not washing your hands or using sanitizer, I don't care if you're the best mask-wearing person in the world. If you're not doing the other things, washing your hands, using sanitizer, it doesn't matter. So when you start hearing these things, whether it's on social media, like, masks don't work and all that, it's because you're not doing the other things as well. And I think that people have gotten lazy as far as washing their hands. Look, all you got to do is go to a restroom even before COVID-19. How many people even wash their hands after going to the bathroom? I mean, you know, think about that. So my point is, you know, it's not just wearing masks. You've got to be constantly washing your hands. You've got to be constantly using sanitizer, and people stop doing it.
Wouldn't you think, though, Vanderbilt, of all schools, though, would be kind of the forefront of not getting
this? You're talking about 18 to 22-year-olds.
That's true.
And I'll leave
kids,
it.
Kids, right?
Yeah. All right, 615-844-5600. Open segment on the other side. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon, and watching traffic increase here on the South Loop, the West Loop, I-40 also on the increase as you head out into Dixon County through Kingston Springs. Looking good on 65 down into Brentwood. Sure, we've seen a couple of accidents out here in the last 10, 15 minutes. Wrapping up that 140 eastbound ramp there at Jefferson Street, 4300 block of OHB and Hopewell being cleared. Hey, check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Princess Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Football fans, I have the perfect way for you to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's called a same game parlay bet, and they're only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. You can place a 3+ same game parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with the same game parlay insurance. The playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. It's just one of the many ways to win on FanDuel. You gotta like the ease of use, and it's got some big super boosts this weekend with those odds specials. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started, and use my promo code WNSR to sign up. Go check out same game parlays only available on FanDuel Sportsbook.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Now that 2020 is behind us, let's make 2021 the most relaxing year. Bokhara Salon and Spa is located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Bokhara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the comfort of the signature Bokhara Spa as you're pampered with the ultimate spa experience. Make time for a soothing facial, massage, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Your treatment begins in the exclusive exquisite relaxation room. And whether you're enjoying a signature body treatment or just visiting the salon, you are sure to enjoy every minute of Mokara Salon and Spa. This Valentine's Day, give her the gift of relaxation. Mokara Salon and Spa. Open Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600. Mokara Salon and Spa. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this afternoon: dry with a mix of sun and clouds, high middle 50s, light westerly winds. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 30. Mostly sunny tomorrow, Wednesday, not as warm. Midweek high, 48. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's TJ Matthews.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. A little bit later this hour, Ryan Callahan will be joining us from Knoxville to talk some Tennessee Vols and more. And obviously get his thoughts on the basically what we were talking about earlier. You know, does he feel like this is going to get uglier before, we start seeing a sunrise and a nice sunny day from all these rain clouds? You know, time will tell. So we'll see how it all plays out. Hey, by the way, finally, the SEC has announced the baseball schedule as far as conference games. So now, with the conference games announced, these teams can finish out their schedules by them, you know, being able to put together the non-conference portion of their schedule. But the Vanderbilt season will begin. What will happen was all 14 teams, they're going to be playing a 10-3-game weekend series. And Vanderbilt will play at home. In fact, open conference play at home for the first time since 2016. They'll be hosting South Carolina the weekend of March 19th through the 21st. Then they hit the road for three of their next four weekend series. They travel to Missouri and LSU. And then following a matchup with LSU, they return home to take on Georgia on April 9th through the 11th, before then taking on Tennessee on the road, a Tennessee team that's expected to be pretty decent as far as the spring is concerned. And that'll be the weekend of April 16th through the 18th. So now that we've got the conference portion of the baseball schedule out there for Vanderbilt and the other 13 teams, now they can finally work on getting out the the non-conference portion of their schedule.
Yeah, well, at least they're planning for it, right? It's some people worry that it wasn't going to happen. So they've got the plan, and now we'll figure out who the outer conference play is. But it starts on my birthday, March 19th. That's the conference play.
Well, we'll have to remember that.
You have to.
That. How
have
are you going
to remember that? I want to mention, though, Johnny, how's your Super Bowl choices looking right now?
Yeah, not really good. And by the way, let's go back to, and I don't know how you deal with that, but the contest between Cleveland and, and watching what happened with Kansas City, here they are going in to score a touchdown right before halftime. And you've got to call either a defenseless player or something, because he would not have fumbled the ball if he did not take a hit to the helmet.
Yeah.
Now, and I'm okay. Look, I know there's been a lot of speculation. We hate that rule that it's a touchback if it goes to the end zone. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem when he's diving and he gets hit in the side of his head. Could you see it? As soon as he gets hit in the side of his head, he loses control of the football. That's where I have a problem. They should have thrown a flag.
My thought, it's not so much some of those, when they get so bang-bang like that, right? Like, and it's that both guys are laying their bodies out, I feel like then you can't say defensive any defensive. Lord, now I can't even say it. Defenseless. You can't really say defensive at that point.
We can't say it anyway.
It doesn't matter. But I feel like at that point it's just football. It's like just gridiron football. They have like this play is happening, and you have to give it up to Sorensen that he was like, look, I'm because just as dangerous for both people, right? Like it's dangerous for the person tackling also. That, you know, he's going to give up his body to make that stop. And Higgins, you know, had he held on, it would have been a touchdown. So
yeah, but he's throwing his head, though, and that's the problem. He's you know, going in
what
with
else
his
is
head.
He supposed to do in that situation to, you know, stop the play? That's the hard question.
Put it this way. In college football, he would have been kicked out of the game the rest of the game. He would have not played the second half. That would have been a targeting rule.
Yeah, I know. It's just that's hard. That stuff is really hard to judge and to be fair to both sides. I don't think we'll ever find this is like the modern era, which we still have this, but the receiver move, you know, like that one seems like it's very gray all the time and stuff like that. It's going to be what it is. But I don't know. The Chiefs, they got through it. You know, they just had to get through. They didn't have Mahomes, and Chad Henne comes out. What was that one ball that he threw? I don't even know where he was trying to throw that one to the end zone. It was directly to a Browns player. I think I could have put a better ball out there.
And look, they had the opportunity then, so they get the ball, you know, and then what happens? They can't do a drive. They had a chance to, for a game-winning drive, and they couldn't pull it off.
They had two game-winning chances. They had two chances on drives too. So that's
the
other thing.
But that was where, but that particular time when they do the interception, you know, you've got plenty of time, though. You know, you don't have to be stressed about it. You can be methodical. And look, they just didn't get it done. How about Baltimore? The fact that they had so many opportunities as far as in the red zone. I think, was it four times and they never scored? I mean, two missed field goals, you know, hitting the goalpost.
Doinks on each side.
You had an interception, which was a pick six going the other way. And then at the very end there, it was another drive inside. Basically, what should have happened in those waning moments, Baltimore should have been in a position to kick a field goal to give them the 19-17 lead. But, you know, everything that could go wrong for Baltimore did go wrong for Baltimore against the Bills.
I'm not trying to create a narrative by what I'm about to say, but it did seem like Lamar Jackson just kind of quit on his team. It seemed like after that hit, he was just like, we're not going to win this game, and then just walked off the field. And that's just the way it seemed like it went to
me. Well,
be.
When you're talking, and boy, did Justin Tucker get like jinxed or what? I mean,
well, because everybody talks about how accurate he is.
He's the best accurate. He's the most accurate kicker in postseason. In fact, he's only missed three times. And oh, by the way, two of them have occurred in this postseason.
Yeah.
Like, great.
Yeah.
I mean, you just knew if you're a fan of the Ravens, it wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to be there. But they had the opportunities. You know, in this, you know, we're talking about a field goal game, and then in the third quarter. Bam, you know, here's Buffalo. They get a touchdown, but you can't help them. You can't give them another score, especially when you're going in to tie the game. You can't let it go back the other way. And this is what Lamar Jackson did. Remember when they had a chance to beat Pittsburgh, when Pittsburgh was undefeated back in the regular season, very first drive, pick six for Pittsburgh. You can't do that if you want to win games like that.
I saw an ad, by the way. I don't know if you saw this. This was a State Farm ad, and it had the Jake from State Farm guy.
Right.
And he's wearing a shirt that he hand-stitched with the faces of Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers on it. The ad said, you know who we're cheering for this weekend.
Hey, by the way, Patrick Mahomes keeps clearing hurdles. He's still in the protocol, but don't rule him out. And I would almost wait because I'm thinking he's going to be able to play this weekend.
Yeah, I think so too.
And so because of that, I would wait. If you want to go with Buffalo and take points, I would wait because you're going to be able to get more. As soon as they make the announcement that Mahomes is playing, you should be able to get some more points, either half or a full point. So that would be one of those games that I would go, wait, don't go there yet. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll talk some Tennessee Vols. Ryan Callahan joins us. He is with GoVols247.com. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Watching it build pretty good here on 24 eastbound. Coming past Briley Parkway as you make your way out towards Rutherford County. They're still mopping up that crash over in the 2000 block of Jefferson Street. 4300 block of OHB and Hopewell is also recovering. 40 east building pretty good now in Wilson County through Mount Juliet, headed out towards Lebanon. Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies will be hosting Sleep of the Sharks March 27th. All the details at ripleysaquariumofthesmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
When you're Middle Tennessee's Community Bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. You're going to be a wonderful mom, and I can't wait to be a grandpa. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. I struggled to connect with almost everyone and preferred being alone. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. In fact, I called Jim first with the news about my granddaughter, Lizzie. Hey, Jim, I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations, Dave.
Hey, let's get together and celebrate.
Well, as long as you're not grilling.
My pride was my armor, but I didn't know it then. I couldn't put it into words. I was sad, was scared, I felt alone. I didn't know how to reach out, so I hid behind anger and silence. But then I decided to listen to Jim, and I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit maketheconnection.net to find out more.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Terry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Before we go to our next guest, some really sad news, and this kind of continues with the trend we saw last year and now starting early this year as well. But really sad news to learn of the passing of Don Sutton, a Hall of Fame baseball player. Primarily you know him as a Los Angeles Dodger, but played for five different teams. And then if you're a fan of the Atlanta Braves, you certainly got to know him as a Braves broadcaster from TV to radio as well. But passing away at the age of 75, just really sad news. Right now, chance to go to the hotline and talk some Tennessee Vols. Ryan Callahan, he covers the Vols for GoVols247.com. Ryan, you know, it's one of these things that we have been discussing, and were you really shocked yesterday with the news that Jeremy Pruitt out and Phil Fulmer retiring?
You know, I wasn't. I thought this was a real possibility for, you know, obviously at least a little while before yesterday, and you know, we weren't sure how the timing was going to work out. We knew that Jeremy Pruitt had spoken with the attorneys and other investigators involved in the investigation on Thursday of last week, and new things were at least starting to wrap up with Tennessee's end of the investigation. We didn't know maybe to the extent or how long the NCAA had also been involved, so we didn't know if that would play into how long this dragged out, but obviously things were winding down on Tennessee's front, and they were able to go ahead and make this decision. So it didn't surprise me that it happened. maybe a little surprised that Philip Fulmer also is stepping down at the same time. I thought that was something that might not happen until later if it happened, but certainly there were whispers of that being a possibility too. So, you know, overall not shocking, but I'm sure surprising to a lot of people out there. Just, you know, you can hear about it and still to see it happen. Even with all that Tennessee's been through over the last 13 years, it's still shocking to see something like that actually unfold and for a school to release that they've had possible allegations of pretty serious violations under their watch and have that happen.
You know, if you spend 3 years with a program, not only are you going to know where your skeletons are, you're going to know about the other skeletons part of an athletics program. I'm a little surprised just how motivated Tennessee, you know, has been, you know, besides hiring the attorneys, to make sure that they can fire Jeremy Pruitt, you know, with cause. And so because of that, you know, the fact that, you know, look, do I think he's going to walk away with nothing? No. because otherwise, I think this gets really ugly before it gets better for the Vols.
It could. I mean, obviously, I was a little bit surprised by Tennessee's move to go ahead and fire him for cause. You know, that obviously might be tough to stand by. And as you said, you know, that's still probably up for debate because his attorney obviously released a statement last night, you know, sort of poking holes at how Tennessee handled some aspects of the situation and making it sound like that it was a very concerted effort for the university to be able to fire him for cause, and this was kind of a preordained outcome the way his attorney is trying to sell it. So certainly there's a lot to be decided there, at least. But at the same time, Tennessee presented six different counts on which they're able to say that they're firing him for cause, and one of those is simply failing to monitor his own program. You know, that's one of the aspects of that. So even if Jeremy Pruitt can make the case that none of this is directly tied to him, or, you know, claim ignorance to some of the things that might end up being revealed whenever the report from this investigation is released, Tennessee still might have the case to make that just simply failing to oversee all of this and allowing this to happen on his watch might justify the firing for cause. So that'll be interesting how that unfolds, and I'm not sure anybody involved wants to have a big public show made of it. If you know, at best, I think this is maybe a settlement deal where Jeremy Pruitt maybe ends up getting a portion of what he's owed under normal circumstances. But I don't think either side, to your point, would want to drag a lot of that out in public and have anything else come out that either side might know about the other.
Do you think Philip Fulmer knew or did not want to know?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, there are plenty of athletic departments out there that, you know, that have been had similar issues happen where, you know, you can always ask that question after the fact when stuff like this happens, and there's no way to really know. You know, my guess is that you might hear of things, but it's one thing to hear of something and know about something. So. I wouldn't assume that Philip Fulmer knew something and turned a blind eye to it or anything like that. And if he did, you would think there would have been some sort of warning at some point to you know, do something different. So I don't know. I wouldn't want to assume anything on that, and certainly don't think that was you know, I was a little bit maybe not surprised is the right word, but it was interesting to hear Donde Plowman, Tennessee's chancellor, come out yesterday and make it very clear that Philip Fulmer was not in any way implicated in any of the allegations that they've looked into, and that he was not directly involved in anything, and that was not the reason for him stepping down. You do wonder about his statement around the time Tennessee accepted its Liberty Bowl invitation, where he sort of doubled down on Jeremy Pruitt being Tennessee's coach.
Right.
You wonder if that maybe ruffled some feathers at the time, because I think Tennessee was very much in the middle of that investigation, did not know the outcome. And that was Fulmer kind of doubling down on his bet that Jeremy Pruitt was his guy, that he was going to stay. And you wonder if something like that maybe played into it. But obviously it doesn't sound like, from Donde Plowman's comments, that Philip Fulmer being directly involved or being responsible for overseeing any of that stuff was the reason for him stepping down at the end of this AD search.
Ryan Callahan joining us. Here's the thing. Since the investigation is still going on, right, we don't know. So anything that was said yesterday, you can let it go through one ear and out the other. Back last year, did Philip Fulmer not get an extension? Yes, he did. I always said that they're attached to the hip, Jeremy Pruitt and Phil Fulmer. And if anybody believes, and I've been already told this too, anybody who believes he retired on his own, he, you know, is needs to buy some beachfront property in Colorado. Because if you don't think this was a forced retirement, then you're not seeing all the tea leaves there.
Yeah, I don't think that this was just a random decision by Philip Fulmer. As you said, he just signed a contract extension in May. That was supposed to keep him at Tennessee through December of 2023. I think Philip Fulmer was very clearly hoping, at least until not very long ago, that Jeremy Pruitt would be able to stay at Tennessee, and I think very much had the sense that they were likely tied at the hip, that his outcome depended on Jeremy Pruitt staying at Tennessee. So, yeah, I don't think – I'm with you. I think Philip Fulmer did not – make that decision to step down as a forced retirement or whatever you want to call it. But you know, that's what happens in a lot of those cases. He obviously, you know, made the decision to hire Jeremy Pruitt under tough circumstances in that search 3 years ago, but he's had Jeremy Pruitt's back the entire way. And again, that statement last month, you know, I still wonder about that. If kind of coming out and making it sound like Jeremy Pruitt was coming back when I'm not sure that was the way a lot of other people were thinking at that time. I wonder if that, as much as anything, might have led to them thinking that there was any chance of him sticking around longer, maybe that sort of trying to undermine maybe the severity of the situation could have led to that.
So basically, if we had everybody under scrutiny as far as with lie detector tests, everybody who spoke yesterday at that press conference, how much of what was told is truthful and how much was not? Because once again, if you buy into everything that was said, and then you look into and realize what was actually the actual facts of the matter and what we think and what we've been told, then how much can you believe what was said yesterday?
You know, I don't think we know all the facts, certainly. I think there's a lot more we'll find out once some sort of report is made public on this. I don't know that there were too many, you know, misleading things said yesterday, but obviously the presentation of Philip Fulmer's stepping down, you know, might be one of the main things you would point to. But, you know, how much anything else was, you know, painted in a way that's not totally fair, you know, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I definitely think Tennessee obviously made a big show of trying to operate with integrity going forward. You know, I think those words from Randy Boyd, the president, and from Donde Plowman certainly put a little bit of a target on Tennessee's back in the future in regard to handling things in that manner. As long as they're running the show at Tennessee, those are big words to throw around and to make it sound like you're not going to put up with any sort of wrongdoing in the future. So that obviously is a high standard to uphold in a league as competitive as the SEC. But, you know, I don't know that there were, you know, many lies or anything like that told, but obviously the presentation of Fulmer's decision is just one of the things that, you know, those things happen.
Before we get to a head coach, they want to hire an AD. Two names that I've heard, David Blackburn, used to be, you know, formerly with Tennessee's administration as far as athletic administration. He was also AD at Chattanooga, currently associate AD at MTSU. So that's one name that's out there. Also, John Gilbert, the AD at East Carolina, another name I've heard. What about you?
Yeah, Blackburn is not a name that we've heard as much this time around. He certainly has been involved in a couple of Tennessee's past AD searches and was a name that frequently was one of the first that came up in some of those past ones. I'm not sure his stock is as high as it once was in Tennessee circles, but I think you can't rule him out. But yeah, that's not a name we've heard as much. But definitely John Gilbert, I think, should probably be considered one of the early favorites for that job. I think he's certainly one to keep an eye on. Yeah, we'll see if this ends up being a wide search. I do think there's a chance that, you know, Donde Plowman and Randy Boyd and the people involved want to look at a number of candidates. But if they don't take a long time with this, I would assume John Gilbert would be one of the top contenders. Another guy with Tennessee ties who has come up early in this search that I think would make a lot of sense is Mark Ingram at UAB. He's done a good job down there, I think. Has pretty deep ties to Tennessee and would make a lot of sense in a situation like this. So those two, I think, were were among the first names that came to mind for a lot of people, and we'll see how the search goes. But I think there are some other names across the country that if Tennessee does decide to take its time with this and really, really look for a guy that's the right long-term fit, and it doesn't have to be a Tennessee guy, you could see this be a farther-reaching search that might involve some guys who are maybe, you know, assistant athletic directors at other schools and things like that.
Before I let you go, I'll remind the listeners again what they can expect when they go to GoVols247.com.
Well, obviously plenty of coverage of all of this as Tennessee continues searching for an athletic director, a new football coach after that. So plenty to cover on those fronts. Basketball coverage as well with Tennessee playing tonight and much, much more. Along with all that, recruiting, obviously, year-round. So plenty to keep track of right now at GoVols247.com and sign up now to get 50% off your first year on the site.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of the week. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Ryan Callahan joining us from Knoxville. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Watching traffic increase even more so here in the last 10, 15 minutes on the South Loop. Making your way down into Brentwood, Franklin has picked up quite a bit. 109 starting to build pretty good as well. As we check out that traffic there on 109 in Wilson County, we have a report now of a possible car fire in Hendersonville on Vietnam Vets going eastbound around, let's say, Gallatin Pike area. Hey, check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Princess Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Today, we're talking paint schemes coming out of the Hendrick Motorsports camp for the upcoming 2021 NASCAR racing season. The 48 car, not of Jimmy Johnson. How weird is that? It's going to take me a while to wrap my head around that one. Okay, back to Alex Bowman, who is the new driver of that machine. The car features a similar dark purples, pinks, and turquoise accent lines as before, just with a different look. The 48 number is solid white, and of course, the primary sponsor is still Ally Bank. It still looks familiar, but different enough. You'll notice on the racetrack right away. According to his Twitter account, Alex played a role in its design, saying, quote, "Had fun working on this one. We went all out, ready to rock the Ally Racing colors for this season." William Byron's number 24 car, which is stepping away from its long-running familiar design, it's quite bold for 2021. You are going to notice this thing right away on the racetrack. The colors remain similar, however, the lines are much larger and thicker. Exalta remains as the primary sponsor and is still reminiscent of Jeff Gordon's Rainbow Warriors color scheme from the 1990s, and they're calling it old school with a new twist. Byron is going to sport these colors starting with the Daytona 500 coming up next month and the NASCAR Cup Series 2021 season opener, a track where William, by the way, nabbed his first career win last August.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap.
Paid for by Protect My Car. Restrictions may apply. Plans and cost for coverage may vary. Call for details.
These days, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you own a car, truck, or SUV made from 1999 or higher, you could stop paying for car repairs. That's right, you might not have to pay a penny to have it repaired. Just call 800-439-0518 now to see if you qualify. You must have an automobile made from 1999 or higher, and all repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past. Call 800-439-0518 today and get your car protected before your next repair bill hits. That's right, total protection for your car and no more repair bills. Plus, call 800-439-0518 right now and get free roadside assistance, free towing, free car rental, and free oil changes. Just call 800-439-0518 now to see if your car qualifies. That's 800-439-0518. Never pay for car repairs again. Just call 800-439-0518. 800-439-0518.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams. I'd like to invite you to check out our friends with Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Five great locations to serve you in the area. Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, the Tusculum area. Plus, don't forget the two enhanced experiences, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building and the Stones River Mall. And there with these enhanced experiences, we're talking about laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, Laser Maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. For more information, check them out online, strikeandspare.com. All locations open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. A real special guest coming up on the show tomorrow. If you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, how about the fact that the one and only Drew Pearson will be coming on the show tomorrow at 5:05? Certainly enjoyed watching him play. By the way, he's also the lone senior finalist to be voted in this year for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So fingers are crossed for Drew Pearson to finally get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But just an outstanding career with the Cowboys from 73 to 83. Cannot wait to have him on the show tomorrow at 5:05. Speaking of next hour, too, as far as 5:05, Barrett Salee joins us. He'll talk some Tennessee Vols and more. He is with CBSSports.com, also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84, and Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville next hour as well. Stay with us, everybody.